Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today we're going to do the 2022 Heresy Update, News of the Weird and Wild from denominations that used to be biblical, but which have gone over to the dark side. They've embraced the culture rather than following Christ. This is going to get very sad. You're going to maybe think I'm making some of this stuff up. I'm not. Go to our website, pastorstudy.org. Hit the F button for Facebook. You'll see all the articles verifying this. And I'm a Lutheran, so a lot of this is going to be the Lutheran Church because I know it the best. But the same demons have invaded the Episcopal Church in America, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Methodist Church, the Disciples of Christ, and we're going to hear now the Reformed Church in America. So let us pray before we begin. Father, my prayer is, and we pray, that people would have their eyes opened to know whether they're supposed to leave a denomination they've been part of all their lives and to join a more biblical church where they can give their money joyfully. Lord, pray that just many people will turn away from the false teachings that have invaded your church and bring them into good, true Christian churches. We pray for repentance for these churches we're going to mention. But Lord, I don't see any of that going on, but we ask you to do that and speak to us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First item, the 2022 Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, that's the big liberal branch that I used to be part of, they're having their new teen convention this summer. If you go to the ELCA Lutheran website, you'll see 15 faces meet our team, the people putting together the teen convention. Every person lists their preferred pronouns to be gay, trans, sensitive. If that's not a clue not to send your child to that convention. This is the same convention 2 years ago that put an 11-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl on stage to sell transgenderism to the teenagers. 2 years ago also, they put Pastor Nadia Bowles-Weber on stage, radical Lutheran pastor, who had all the teenagers chant after me, "I renounce the lie that queerness is anything other than beauty." All right, so the next one's coming up this summer. Well, hallelujah, the ELCA, because of COVID, decided to cancel this summer's convention. And I'm thinking, good, the teenagers dodged a bullet from their own church. And the ELCA Lutheran website continues to highlight this 11-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl. Now he, I refuse to say she, is 13. And at their website, they quote him, not her. "Yesterday I was confirmed in the ELCA Lutheran Church. If anyone tells you you can't be transgender or LGBTQ+ and Christian, they're wrong." Next item. Bishop Lowell Erdahl died recently. Before him, Bishop Herbert Chilstrom died. Both of these bishops were a trial for me. For many years, I was in the ELCA Lutheran Church, and some pastors and I tried to turn it around. We couldn't. Bishop Chilstrom was pro-choice on abortion. We tried to get the ELCA to stop paying for abortion for any reason whatsoever in the church's health care plan, which is funded by your Lutheran offering dollars in the ELCA. We lost that. And if you've watched our show, you've heard me tell my story that I have had same-sex attraction most of my life. And it was grievous for me to go to my conventions and see bishops promoting the acceptance of homosexual behavior in the church. Well, in 2001, Bishop Chilstrom and Bishop Lowell Erdahl won, and the ELCA voted to ordain practicing homosexual pastors. The ELCA now has practicing homosexual bishops, and that's thanks to the work of these two men in part. May they rest in peace, but only the Lord knows if they're resting in peace. Next item. The ELCA Lutherans have elected the world's first transgender bishop. This is a woman who looks like a man. She's married to another woman and has children. This transgender bishop has written a storybook for transgender children. You can go to the website and find, she has a video of her reading her transgender storybook promoting transgenderism to kids. This same transgender bishop was on Good Morning America, and the news anchors gushed over how wonderful it is that this transgender person won their election, because she wants to be called they. Listen, when it gets to the point where you can't tell the difference between your denomination and Good Morning America, time to move on. Next item. This past Christmas time, an ELCA Lutheran congregation in Chicago had a seminarian give a sermon and the children's sermon dressed in drag. Next item. At a recent worship service led by a transgender ELCA Lutheran pastor, she looks like a she, but it's a he, gave this benediction. The grace of Jesus the Christ, the love of God the Creator, and the communion of the queer-making spirit be with you all. Now, the ELCA's hierarchy is called their church council, their highest body. They met recently and passed this resolution. The percentage of lay people not allocated to women or men may be allocated to persons who identify as gender non-binary, gender fluid, women, men, or other genders. Other genders? There's only two genders. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, period. Some people in our culture think there's 100 genders, not according to Jesus Christ, and it's tragic that the Lutheran Church is siding with culture rather than Christ. Indeed, the head bishop of the ELCA has made two gay pride videos. Next item, and I'm not making this up. A bisexual pastor of the ELCA painted her breasts and went topless at a gay pride parade. Then she took a picture of that and put it on her Facebook page. The first lesbian bishop of the ELCA praised her for what she did, and the pastor defended her action, saying this: "If you take offense at this picture, it is because you have sexualized me. I invite you to check your shame, check your vulnerability, and check your lack of integrity." In other words, if you think it's not a good idea for a bishop to expose her breasts at a gay pride parade, you've got the problem. Next item. The ELCA has its first partnered lesbian bishop. And she wrote this in the ELCA National Magazine. As you become a fully integrated person who has come out to who you are yourself, you realize that God has created you this way. God delights in you. Well, let me respond as a person who has same-sex attraction himself. God did not create a woman to have sex with a woman. He did not create a man to have sex with a man. Go to our website, push the button that says, "What does the Bible teach about homosexuality?" You'll get all the verses. Next item. The World Hunger Program of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America used to be the safe place you could give your money. And throughout the years, a number of conservative congregations have stopped giving money to the liberal hierarchy and have directed their offering dollars just to the World Hunger Program of the ELCA. Well, recently, it went gay too, and they put on a webinar called Sexuality, Gender Identity, and Hunger with gay speaker Pastor Joe Larson of the ELCA. I wouldn't give my money to ELCA World Hunger anymore. There are other good Christian alternatives. Next item, and this one again, it's hard to believe. Pastor Nadia Bowles Weber is the pastor who led the 31,000 teenagers to say after me, "I renounce the lie that queerness is anything other than beauty." She is she loves to use the F word. She's got bestseller novels, not novels. She writes books that are on the bestseller list. She's very radical. She gave Gloria Steinem a golden vagina sculpture to thank Gloria for her pro-choice work. Well, now Pastor Bowles Weber is divorced. She has a new boyfriend. She has said this on the radio. Listen to this. I get together with my boyfriend and start having sex, and it was like, holy S. I was like, it felt like an exfoliation of my whole spirit. I'm like, this is so good for my brain chemistry and my body and my heart. I'm like, F man, why in the world wouldn't the church say to do this? I'll tell you why. Because 1 Corinthians 6 says fornicators don't go to heaven. And this is the person the ELCA puts in front of the teenagers to preach. Now, but here's the news item. They now just made her the first ELCA pastor of public witness. This ain't my grandma's Lutheran church. Next item. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit become parent, child, and holy breath, and rain, estuary, and sea in the ELCA head bishop's prayer at the transgender bishop installation. The new transgender bishop had to be installed, so they had this big worship service. Head bishop of the ELCA, Elizabeth Eden, prayed to God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then she prayed to God as parent, child, and holy breath, rain, estuary, and sea. See, this is the feminism that's invaded the mainline denominations. The ELCA National Magazine just had an article saying that the Holy Spirit is a her. Quote, the Spirit transforms you and me by her relentless presence in, with, and among humanity. The Bible never calls the Holy Spirit a her. But that doesn't stop the ELCA from doing this kind of thing. If you're an ELCA Lutheran, this is your hymn book. It's the cranberry-colored hymn book, they call it. I'd never use this hymn book. I mean, they've desexed all the psalms, so when it says in the Bible, God, he does this, he does that, it's God, you do this, you do that. They got rid of all the masculine terms for God in the ELCA hymn book on their psalm pages. And again, I'm not making this up. There's an ELCA congregation in San Francisco in full fellowship with the ELCA. Nobody will discipline this church. It's called Her Church. It's a feminist church. Here's how they pray to God at Her Church. Sophia, our goddess, as a full moon rising, you unveil your vision of love for the universe. You work within us. Sophia, our goddess, as a full moon rising, give us wisdom to understand that your justice exceeds even our best intentions. Your love is a cosmic quality. We trust in your moon risings, in your birth-giving powers. Sophia, our goddess, as a full moon rising, you are the sacred one thread and source of all times, grandmother, mother, and child. Blessed she. I mean, this is paganism. This is New Age weirdness. It's an ELCA congregation that's in full fellowship with the church. Well, let's leave the ELCA. If you're part of it, time to leave the ELCA. We got a few more items, however, and then we'll do the Episcopalians and the Reformed Church. A large Lutheran church in Minneapolis is called Mount Olivet Lutheran Church. Years ago, it used to be a pretty good church. Times have changed. Their pastor preached a sermon a while ago poo-pooing the concept of hell as awful theology. Because, he said, Romans 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So he assured everybody, Jesus will get everybody out of hell. And this is in line with what the head bishop of the ELCA said to a Chicago newspaper. They asked her, Bishop Eaton, is there a hell? There may be, but I think it's empty. Well, Jesus said there's a hell. Jesus talked about people weeping and gnashing their teeth in hell, Luke chapter 13. Jesus talked about eternal punishment in Matthew 25. I would say to that Mount Olivet pastor, yes, Romans 8 says nothing shall separate us from the love of God. But that was Paul the Apostle speaking to believing Christians. Elsewhere, Paul talks about hell and wrath for those who reject Christ. Next article, item. The National ELCA Lutheran Magazine encouraged Native American worship, smudging, that's where you put ashes around yourself to cleanse yourself, or smoke, and making offerings to Mother Earth. And there's an article about a woman who's practicing both Native American spirituality and Christianity, and she burns tobacco to make worship, and she makes offerings to Mother Earth. You know, this is what got the Old Testament Jews in trouble. They tried to mix Jehovah worship with Baal worship, and they got punished for it. You don't mix Christianity with Native American worship, or I'm German, Thor worship. You know, you just, you leave. I remember a Native American woman hearing this from my church, and she, with tears in her eyes, said, "They're trying to take us back to what Jesus saved me from." And the latest edition of the Lutheran ELCA magazine promotes yoga and meditation. All right, now we turn to the Reformed Church in America. Recently, the Reformed Church in America voted to allow for the ordination of practicing homosexual pastors. I read that and I thought, are you crazy? Have you not seen what this has done to the ELCA Lutherans, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA? These denominations are shrinking, and they should, but the Reformed Church went ahead with their enlightenment and violated the Scriptures. Let's talk about the Episcopalians. Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa died recently. He was a proponent of gay marriage. And here's what he said. "I would not worship a God who is homophobic, and that is how deeply I feel about this. I would refuse to go to a homophobic heaven. No, I would say, sorry, I would much rather go to the other place." And now he's dead. Well, let me share one more, and this one's really sad for me. Even some Baptists are budging where they shouldn't budge. I went to Bethel College, now it's Bethel University. I'm a Lutheran, but I went to a Baptist college, and it was such a wonderful Bible-based, Christ-centered college when I went there. But in recent years, I'll walk through the halls of Bethel. I go there for lunch now and then, and I'll see the gay rainbow stickers on some of the professors' doors. Well, I went to Bethel a while ago, and I picked up their student newspaper, and I don't know if you can see this. Here's a picture of a man dressed up as a woman, places to breathe. And the article is about making space at Bethel for you to be able to be transgender, GLBT, et cetera, et cetera. I was grieved. Now, I know that technically Bethel still says that homosexual behavior is wrong. Nobody from the administration responded to that and said, that is not what we believe. You know, I would have, if I was leading that place, I'd say, you've got to print my response to that, or you can't have a student newspaper anymore. Oh, my, my, my. One last example. Would Martin Luther be able to teach at Luther College? Luther College is an ELCA-affiliated Lutheran college in Decorah, Iowa. Here's what their website says. Luther College supports LGBTQIA+ students' advocacy and programming. They have something called Luther Pride, whatever that is. Our goal is to create an open and affirming environment void of homophobia, heterosexism, cissexism, transphobia, and gender bias through training sessions and other things. The Office of LGBTQ Services serves the entire campus. All right, now wait a minute. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, preached against homosexual behavior. Why? Because the Bible preaches against homosexual behavior. Would Luther be allowed to teach at Luther College? I don't think so. And I don't know one ELCA Lutheran college that has stood up against the gay theology. I would send no one to Luther and Wartburg Colleges in Iowa, or in Minnesota. I'd send no one to Augsburg University or St. Olaf or Gustavus Adolphus or Concordia Moorhead. If I was in South Dakota, I'd send no one to Augustana. Beware of these schools. Don't send your children there if you want a good biblical Christian education. So I'm just going to close with a plea. If you're part of the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Disciples of Christ, and now the Reformed Church in America, time to take your money, time, and talents and go join a more biblical denomination. And people say, well, shouldn't we stay and fight? I did that for many, many years. The ELCA has not turned around at all. They continue to pay for abortions for any reason with your offering dollars in the church health care plan. Now they're promoting transgenderism and homosexuality to children. The ship has sailed for turning those denominations around. I encourage you, take your money, time, and talents, find a good biblical church, and go elsewhere. And one last thing. I'm an old guy. I had my 50th high school reunion recently. I went down to Omaha, and I saw a friend of mine named Paul that I haven't seen for 50 years. Paul and I were raised in the same Lutheran church in Omaha. We were in the same confirmation class when we were 13. Well, we haven't talked for 50 years. And he finds out now I'm a Lutheran pastor. And I told him about my TV show. And he said, yeah, I went to the Lutheran church, but when the pastor started preaching social justice sermons, which, you know, liberal politics from the pulpit, he said, I had to get out of there. And I joined a non-denominational Bible church. And I think I said to him, good for you, Paul. Now listen, if you need to leave the Lutheran ELCA church, you can still stay a Lutheran, but you can go Missouri Synod Lutheran or the Free Lutheran Church. If you're a Presbyterian, PCUSA Presbyterian, leave them, but you can join the Presbyterian Church in America. There's good alternatives to all these denominations that are falling away. But you know what a lot of people are doing? They're just joining their biblical Baptist Bible church down the street. And that is the state. And I just encourage you, if you're giving your money to these denominations, I know it's hard to leave your church if you've been there for 40 years and all your friends are there, but your highest allegiance is not to your local congregation or to your denomination. Your highest allegiance is to Jesus Christ. Find a good church, go every Sunday, that honors Him and the Scriptures. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, we just heard your heresy update. What has happened to these denominations where they have become so unbiblical?
You know, Mona, when I was a little boy, the Lutheran Church was fine. The Methodist Church was fine. The Episcopal Church was fine. The United Church of Christ, well, what has happened was slowly the authority of Scripture has been eroded. I graduated from Luther Seminary in 1979. Liberalism was already in the seminary then. Now, radicalism has taken over our seminaries. So for all these denominations, they used to hold firmly to the authority of Scripture, that the Bible is the final authority. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely, they just got away from following the Word, and they started following the world. That's the bottom line.
Have they stopped using the Word?
Oh, no, they'll use it, and they'll talk about Jesus. And you've got to be a little attuned to figure some of this out. But yeah, they're mixing things is what they do.
That's why we need to really read the Word and know
yourself.
The Word ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right.
I hate it when somebody says, well, I do that because my pastor said this stuff's okay. Mm-hmm. Well, have you read the Bible yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Well, we have some other letters from viewers, so mm-hmm. I'm going to start off with this one.
Yep.
Do you imply our sins are forgiven past, present, and future? I hope not. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess.
We do have to confess our sins. But when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of my sins, past, present, and future. Yes, he did. Now, do you need to confess your sins? Yes, you do. But does that verse, 1 John 1:9, mean I have to confess every sin I've ever committed in order to be saved? It can't mean that. I don't know half of my sins. We're all going to die without having had time to confess all our sins. My salvation depends upon grace alone, totally by what Christ did on the cross. That's my salvation. So, yes, we need to confess our sins. That's hugely important. But what saves me is the death of Christ on the cross, and that covers all my sins, including the ones I didn't have time to confess.
Or the ones we forgot.
That's right.
Here's another letter. Why are these two verses missing in some versions of the Bible? Matthew 17, verse 21, Acts 8:37.
Yep. There are a few places where the King James Version, which was written in the early 1600s, it was translated from the Greek and Hebrew, Greek, Old, New Testament, Hebrew, Old Testament. The King James Bible is a great Bible. But we have, since the 1600s, we found some more ancient manuscripts. And there are a few places where the King James Version has the words, I think in Mark 7, and fasting, whereas the originals that are older that we have now in our possession don't have it, which means somewhere that word got added. Now, again, there's very few of these, but it's not, you know, sometimes people get a little strange and say, well, I just stick with the King James Bible because that's the only true Bible. No, it isn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, there was no Bible before 1600? You know, so just, I love the ESV Study Bible. Mm-hmm. I love the New American Standard Bible and the King James Bible. They're all very literal. I don't like the more loose translations like the Living Bible and things like that. So I'd stick with a good, careful scripture.
Which Bible do you use?
I use the New American Standard. This is the New American Standard. My favorite is the English Standard Version Study Bible.
Okay.
I use both of those.
Here's another question. Could you do a little program on the recording of the Bible, the people who did it, and their methods back then?
Yeah, and you know, I'll have to find some expert. And this is called the canon. The word canon means list. Mm-hmm. Why does certain books make it into the list of New Testament scripture and others, like the Gospel of Thomas, which is a heretical thing, how come that didn't make it up? I should do it. But you know, hopefully I'll find an expert. But I just looked this up on the internet. And here's the question. We have Mark chapter 5, verse 10. Do you know, Mona, that there were no chapters and verses in the Old or New Testament? Mm-hmm. I mean, when Paul the Apostle wrote Romans, he didn't say Romans chapter 1, verse 1. To the church at Rome, no. All the chapters and verses were added. Listen to when they were added. The Archbishop of Canterbury over in England in 1227 is the one who divided them up into chapters. And then it wasn't until maybe 100 to 2 years later, they actually divided the chapters into verses. Mm-hmm. None of that's in the original text. Now, we need it. So I you know, what are you going to say? John, turn 14 pages and you might find it. You know, John 14, verse 6. We love that. But that is not in the original text. So I'll try to get an expert on here to talk about all this.
That'd be very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're only down to about 20 seconds.
Okay.
Is there any update that you want?
Well, everybody, just as always, we get people saying, Pastor Brock, we pray for your ministry. People support our ministry financially. If you want to see these programs or more of our shows, they're available for free at pastorstudy.org. You can also support us there. God bless you. Till next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.